Speaking of hairy legs, you waxed your legs with your neighbors on a picnic basket or picnic table. What are those called?
Picnic
Blanket.
blanket.
That had food on it. People were like reaching over food to pull your leg hair out. I was so
I
grossed
didn't notice that part.
out. There was food and 3-inch long leg hair.
Here's what happened. I have been so busy. I have not been outside. Basically been inside with long pants on, not showering because I'm doing so much schoolwork.
Right.
That I went outside, my neighbor Amber just said, "Would everybody like to come to my house?" And so I just got my kids and went to her house, and everybody was there. Like the party happened in like 3 minutes. And
Right.
then I looked down, I was, sitting crisscross applesauce, and I was like, "Holy cow, look at that. Look at the carpet upon my calves."
Upon the picnic blanket with these delicious almonds. Anybody like to manscape me on top our picnic?
Nobody even thought about that. That's so funny. Well, so anyway,
Well.
Amber's like, "I waxed my legs." And I told Tina, well, Tina got me into waxing my legs. So I got the stuff and I couldn't get any of the hair off my legs, but I got wax all over the front of my cabinets and it never came off. So I
No.
shared how I'm bad at waxing, which is why I
Right.
look the way that I look. And then Amber's like, "Listen, I hear your cry. I see your
Yeah.
cry. I'm crying. So let me help." So she did.
That's so nice. Those wax strips worked really well.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were called. Started with a V, though. Anyway, or maybe it didn't start with a
Oh, cool. This is good information.
V. You are listening to The Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. We believe here that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. At the top of the show, you heard my sister and I. Apparently, it's gross to get your legs waxed at a picnic. I didn't know. Nobody told me. I did not get that memo. But we really do have so much fun making fun of each other and laughing together. And so we would love for you to join us. You get 2 additional shows a month. You can join for whatever amount you want to pay. You can head to patreon.com/strugglewellproject. You also get access to a members-only Facebook group where we all interact and have so much fun together. So join us if you haven't already. Our newest people, just this week, we have a Teresa and Amanda and Ruth Ann, no last names, possibly in a witness protection program. We want to respect that, ladies. Stacy Bobbin, Amber Capel, and Priscilla Strunk. Thank you guys for coming on board with us at Patreon. We can't wait to get to know you better. So my guest this week is my friend Tara Bremer. She has a business called House Peace. She has come into my home and cleaned out actually 2 closets for me. Number one, I was surprised at how embarrassed I was because I'm a pretty open person, but get into my closet and I'm like, "Oh, sorry that my life is such a mess." But the other thing I was surprised about is how much fun and how therapeutic it was to have her in my house. She made my spaces so much better in a very short amount of time. And she obviously can't come to all of our houses, but she has some really great tips and perspectives that I want you to hear. So whether your house is already organized enough and you don't need any help, which is probably none of us, or whether you don't even care about organizing and you don't even want to talk about this topic, you will find something interesting, I promise. She even helped me get over my problem at the end of this episode with getting rid of shoes. Even if they have holes in them, I want to keep them, you guys. I don't know what the deal is. So let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, Tara. How are you today?
Hey, Emily, how are you?
I'm good. How's Alabama? Like the whole state?
Glorious right now. It's beautiful outside. This is the best time of year to be in Alabama.
So good. It's pretty green.
Very green. Everything's so lush and sprouting up. It's my favorite time of year.
I love
And the sky
it.
is so blue. It's so blue. It's just like the song.
Oh my goodness. That's
Yeah.
great. Okay, so I know you because of, I don't know why. How do I know you? I know you've come organize things in my home.
Yes, we know each other from the podcast, I think. Either the podcast or Jamie.
Probably the podcast and Jamie Golden. Yeah.
I bet that's how it was. I bet I listened to Jamie come on your show or something. And then I started doing like backstage managing or front of house managing for them at their live shows. So then a year ago, we came to Dallas and I came early because I have friends who live out there too. And I'm like, if I'm here early, I want to try to work. So that's when you and I did your hall closet.
Yes.
And that was so fun. And you know, that is one, I've done a lot of collaborations. That is one of two of the most successful collaborations, like super engaged people, your people started following me. Like I have a huge Dallas following, which is crazy.
It was very successful for me too, because my closet looks amazing. I didn't know what the situation was going to be like. But okay, so you come in, you kindly ask questions about whether or not we need to keep all the things that we have in there. And I love, like, you'd be like, oh, okay, so you have this in the closet. Would that maybe go better with, you know, and you just like set a place that would make sense for it to go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. Anyway, and I saw though that you have a counseling background, and that makes so much sense why it was so therapeutic to have you go through my stuff. So tell me about that.
Well, I'm glad that the experience for you is therapeutic. That's my goal. I really feel like I need to market myself a little better and say, this is therapy for your home. This is like better than therapy.
Listen, no, I think you've got your new tagline, because that's amazing. It really is, because people are like, I don't know this lady. She's going to come to my house and she's going to tell me, A, that I'm bad, that my house is bad, that my stuff is bad.
Right. And, you know, it's really hard because it's a very vulnerable place for people to let you come in and see your stuff and see your junk, see your dirt. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many vacuums I've cleaned out. Like because usually if I come in and I do a job and say the floor is dirty, before we put stuff back, I'm going to vacuum. And there's just a lot. If there's a clog, I'll like clean the clog out. And people are like, I can't believe you're digging in my literal dirt. And it's just, it's shameful, but it's really not. Because we're all the same. We just don't know. Like, when do you ever clean house with somebody? Never, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's got the messes. Everybody's got their secrets. I honestly feel really, really privileged to be able to see people's messes and secrets. I mean, one of our big things is confidentiality with our clients. So, like, we do post a lot of pictures, but we always ask first. And we never put tags or anything like that because, you know, we've seen some things. And sometimes people do have reasons for having, you know, weird things in weird places. And that's why I can't be like, this does not go here. Because maybe it really does. Like for the longest time, I kept our socks in the laundry room because that's where our shoes were. I stopped doing that because we ran out of room because we got pets and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't want to be like, socks go in the dresser drawer. Well, no, it actually worked better for a long time for them to be there. So yeah. I do like to ask questions because otherwise then I just look like a dummy, a mean dummy.
A mean dummy. Yes. Okay. So when did you know that you wanted to do like organizing and stuff in people's houses?
So I started the business almost exactly 5 years ago now. No, 6 years ago. It was during the summer. So my third child was adopted from China in 2013. She came home in March and it was a very stressful season and she was 19 and it was just very hard to deal with attachment stuff and just toddler stuff also on top of that and trauma. And yes. I'm saying all the words that I know, you know,
yes,
and probably a lot of your listeners do too. So when things are that out of control, I realized how helpful it was for me to have some things in control. So for example, like if I could open a drawer and know what to expect, it's going to have my stamps right there. My checkbook will be in there. Or, you know, whatever the thing is, that was very soothing to my very irritated, you know, nervous system.
Yeah.
And so I've always liked to organize things. I remember rearranging my room furniture as a kid or, you know, playing with my makeup, not really putting makeup on, but just organizing it.
Yes.
So I've always liked that. And like, as I ramped up and became older and older, I'm like, this is awesome. And so then once my daughter came home, I was like, well, I have nowhere else to organize. So maybe I could do this for other people and they would like it and it would be helpful and maybe I'll make some money. So that's how we started.
Okay. So As somebody who organizing comes pretty easy for and you enjoy it, mm-hmm. how do you feel like you can relate to people who really don't get it? Or do you see that most of your clients don't get it? Or is it just that they don't have time for it?
I think it's both. There's some people who say budget is not a limitation. And a lot of those people, it's usually time. They just do not have the time. Maybe they're, you know, in high demand at work or whatever. Yeah. And so they'll just say, hey, I'm going to throw a few $1,000 at you and I just want you to do it all. And that's, okay. they could do it. In fact, I had a business owner family who just had a million kids and they had two surprise children, like one after another. And she just literally was buried in children. She's like, I really could do this myself, but I just can't. So okay. there's that. And then there are definitely the people who are like, I just don't think this way. And I guess the reason I can relate to that is because so much of what I know, I taught myself. So I have had the disorganized thoughts, or I have had like the mindless decisions that actually lead to chaos. So I think I'm pretty good at kind of guessing the thought process that came, or maybe lack of thought process that played into why someone's house is a mess. Like, in fact, sometimes just from working in someone's home, I can imagine their inner dialogue when they're shopping. I know what they were thinking by the things they were buying. Like, this is cute. Oh, I love this. Oh, I'm going to do this craft with it, you know? And so that gives me some pretty educated guesses about like, hey, I know this was a good idea. You thought you were going to do like your thing was going to be cupcakes with your daughter, but it hasn't been. We can let that go.
Yeah, I could not believe how therapeutic it was to have you deal with my closet.
That makes me so happy. I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, you know, it is a self-care thing. I mean, to use an overused term, I guess. Like, we deserve to not be bossed around by our stuff. Yeah. And I think as moms, I don't know, sometimes we feel like, oh, I haven't worn that sweater in a while. I owe it to the sweater to be worn. No, you don't. You don't owe the sweater. The sweater owes you. It should be making you look good and feel good. And if it doesn't, then it needs to go.
Yeah. What's your thought on Marie Kondo and all that? I've never gotten into her stuff. I just haven't had time. But where do you stand on that?
Oh, gosh. I think she's helpful for a lot of people. My approach is pretty different. I mean, her process, like I watched the show on Netflix, it really stressed me out to think of families working on this for like 40 days.
Okay.
I was like, you poor things. Like when I, you know, say we've got an out of control home or, you know, one room or whatever, my goal, the way my business model works is we try to do it in 3 hours. So, if it needs more than 3 hours of labor, I just start adding people. And really that was born from my daughter being in Mother's Day out and I would want to work for 3 hours while she's in Mother's Day out. So, and that still works because a lot of my employees have kids in preschool still. So anyway, so we just still do a lot of 3 hour jobs. And I'm just like, why would you do this for 40 days when you could do it in 3 hours? The other thing is just, there's a lot of things that spark joy, but does that mean that we should have them in our lives? Hmm. Like, okay, spark joy. I don't know. I just think you could take it too far. I don't know. I think, okay, well, 55 pairs of shoes sparks joy. Well, first I might challenge that and say, does it? And if it does, then okay, that's your thing. But if shoes are your thing, which they are for some people, maybe you can have that. But maybe that means that there's other areas of your life that need to be pursed down a little bit. There's only so much room that you have. There's only so much money you have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, I want to stop for a second and tell you about a new app that I just discovered that I really love. It is called BetterHelp. You know that I love counseling, and I'm such a big proponent of getting in a room and talking through some stuff with somebody who knows how to help you process it. So is there something interfering with you achieving your goals or making decisions? Maybe you're stuck in an area of your life and you don't know how to get past it. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's counseling. They're licensed. They have a huge network of people who may not be locally available in your area. You can do it from anywhere in the world. So I had no choice but to try it out before I tell you about it. And, you know, I'm just kidding. I was super pumped. And I got to tell you, I'm doing video chats. I don't know. I'm having a video counseling session with my lady every week. And then throughout the week, you can message them and she sends me worksheets to fill out. I love filling out worksheets. And I am having the best time. I'm learning so much. Another great thing about BetterHelp is that it's more affordable than traditional counseling, and they have financial aid that's available if you need it. So visit betterhelp.com/SWP and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. For Struggle Well Project listeners, you're going to get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/SWP. That's betterhelp.com/SWP. Give it a try. How does that dovetail with being a Christ follower? All the stuff. I don't know if that's a big.
I mean, this is so hard because I have my own convictions, but
I'm not saying that you're like imposing those on other people, but.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't even know if I've really articulated these ever out loud, but like, I want things relatively simple in my life so that I have time to do other things that are more important. So, for example, if I can cut out chaos in one area, that means I have a little more time to be able to, well, I went on a band trip with my son to Orlando the other day.
I saw that.
So, yeah. By the way, that's awesome. I love middle schoolers. They're such big goobers. That was so fun. I do feel like I have to be careful because I think someone could be like, well, Tara, I see you reading books all the time and I see you gardening and, you know, you have a lot of leisure time and there could be a million reasons for that. Maybe I'm independently wealthy. I'm not, but maybe my mother lives with me, which she doesn't. You know, there's all kinds of factors that can go into that. But like, it really is important to me that my house is not the thing that's burying me. Like prison ministry is important to me. So I do a sewing class at a women's facility.
You do. I love it.
And it's a sacrifice. I hate to say that. That sounds like such a turd thing to say. Like, I have to drive all the way downtown and it takes like a while and I have to plan for it. And my kids, you know, get off the bus without me, but
that is not a bad thing to say. It is a sacrifice.
It is a sacrifice. But then I get there with the women and these women have had super hard lives. Nobody says please and thank you to them. We start sewing and we start talking about things that women talk about. And it's so incredible. We talked about one time, like why their mothers named them their names. Like what does your name mean? And nobody's asking that of them in the prison. And yes. I'm just to be a part of that. So because that takes an entire like half day, that means my other parts of my world need to be pretty well ordered, if that makes sense.
It 100% makes sense. That is great. First of all, I just want to go back, though. Let me circle back real quick. Sewing. Yeah. What do you sew with them?
Okay, so this is so cool. It's all hand sewing. And I'm not the leader. I'm just I think I'm technically a co-leader, but there's a main leader there. And she sews for a living. And so she comes up with projects where you would learn like 4 or 5 skills per project. Each of the women, it's at a pretty low security facility that I'm at. So the women are allowed to keep one needle and a little sewing pouch that has like safety scissors, child safety scissors in that. So they can keep that, meaning they can work on stuff outside of class. So like we made our sewing pouches. So that taught them how to do a buttonhole. It taught them how to do a whip stitch, you know, stuff like that. So once we did that, we did a number of different skills. And then I'm a quilter. So the sewing leader, she was like, why don't you take these scraps from my boutique clothing? So she makes boutique children's clothing on Etsy. She had gorgeous scraps. So I cut the scraps up, took them to the prison, and we made these little baby quilts to donate. And they were so cute and the women loved it and it was very gratifying. The only sad part was I took pictures of the quilts at my house and printed them off hoping that the officers would let me give them to the women, the pictures, and they wouldn't let me. I'm like, oh, God, I worked so hard. I know.
I've worked in a prison and they had tons of pictures.
I feel like it's got to be at the discretion. Like, I feel like it's just someone's opinion.
Okay, I'm sorry. They have needles and scissors. And you can have a picture?
What? It's a picture of a chair with the quilt draped over it.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So, anyway, I'm hoping to do it again in the fall. So, this was actually my first semester doing it this past spring. So, I really loved it. I loved getting to know them.
That's really neat. And there's something so amazing that happens when you are working with your hands. It like unlocks your mouth.
It does unlock your mouth because you're not like awkwardly looking at each other or whatever. And your mind just kind of is free. And we go on really interesting paths. And a lot of the women did talk about their experience sewing. Some of them are pretty, you know, like significantly older than me, like, you know, white hair and have lived long lives. And so they would talk about their mother's sewing with old fashioned sewing machines. And I don't know. It was really neat to hear those stories.
That's so neat. Okay. Well, that was completely off topic, but I love it. I love it. Okay. So where would you say in your like organizing and all that kind of stuff in your experience with your, would you call it like a ministry or it's just basically a business? What's your view of it?
Well, it's a business. We, you know, we're for profit. Let me tell you, I am not rolling in it though. Okay. I have several contract employees who work for me, and all of them are believers, actually. And it's funny because sometimes people do call it a ministry, and I don't know how to make sense of that yet, because we do have very strong love of women. I mean, most of our clients are women as sisters in Christ, and we have certain values that we bring to the table about children or about, you know, godly living or whatever. And it does reflect on the job. Now, we don't, you know, preach the gospel or anything like that, but you would be shocked, or maybe you wouldn't. Most of our clients are believers.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. So one thing that I do like to have some margin with our money so that we can do things for free or discounts for people who can't afford it. That doesn't come up as often as you would think. Like I tried to do a Christmas, like let's organize someone in need, but people who are in deep need like that, they don't want us to come in. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping to do someone's house for serve day. So they're looking for somebody. But I like to have the margin so that I can pay my girls, even if we don't get paid, but it just kind of depends.
Okay. Okay. So what would you say, like, just, I'm interested in if there's a couple helpful tips that you could give my listeners. By the way, everybody needs to follow House Peace on Instagram because you give so many helpful tips. Very useful Instagram feed. What are some things that you think most people had never thought of? And then when you say it, they're like, their minds are blown.
Oh, my word. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. Let me just tell you what's been on my mind lately. So one thing that has helped me so much, and it's helping other people who follow House Peace, is I've been talking a lot this week in particular about signs and cues, visual cues. So it's really hot right now to talk about habit formation. And there's a reason that it's hot, because it's so helpful, right? If we're using all brain power to make decisions all the time, then we're exhausted and stressed. So one of my big things, this really doesn't have to do with organizing. This is just more like how to like live your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to build habits in with my kids, particularly, and myself, so that those things are brainless. They are not a stress. Or I don't want myself to be like, this is so overwhelming. Like, so what I try to do is automate things. So I automate by posting signs on all over my house while we're building a habit.
Okay.
So I actually have a sign right in front of me right now that I posted this week on my Instagram feed. If someone wanted to reference it, it's the title is School Morning Routine. And I've got three columns of checkboxes for my three kids, TB, CB, GG. These are the several things that need to happen before school. Because what would happen, I don't know if you've experienced this, but what would happen in my house is I'm like, did you eat breakfast? Did you do the dishwasher? Hey, have you done this? Is your backpack ready? And I'm being this crazy micromanager, expending lots of words, which is not fun for me. When it comes to that kind of thing. And it's just this like shotgun approach, and I don't want to do that. Yeah. So here's the things, and the list has grown a little bit. Let's see, there's seven things on there, but it started when they were littler with five things. Eat breakfast, do your dishwasher, get dressed, get your drink and snack, and get your shoes and socks on.
What's the dishwasher thing?
So the dishwasher is their morning chore. And I'm not super big into like actual chore charts and rewards and this and that. Like we just all try to pitch in, but this is the one thing I want them to do every day. Each of the kids has a section of the dishwasher that's theirs. the big boy is on top, the little boy is on bottom, and my daughter does the silverware, and it's the same, and we don't alternate anything. We just do it every day. So what that means is, and I did an Instagram post about this a few months ago, where it's like this circle of thinking. So if I want my kids to unload the dishwasher every day, I want them to do that because I want the dishes and kitchen to be ready to go for me when I'm cooking and doing things. So if that's going to happen, that means the dishwasher has to be run the night before. Well, if it has to be run the night before, then it needs to be loaded, right? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's one thing to keep backing it up. And so we do run the dishwasher every single day, no matter how full or empty, because dishwashers are very energy and water efficient. I'm not worried about that. And honestly, our dishwasher is almost always full every day. So they do that. And then over the years, I added a grooming checkbox. And in parentheses, I have deodorant, hair, and teeth. I'm about to add lotion on there because I have like eczema family here. and then the other one is get your backpack ready. That was kind of like they weren't getting their backpacks ready. And that has been really effective. So the point is, my two big boys, they really don't need this anymore. They don't even check it. My daughter, she still very much needs this. She's 7. She's distracted. She's got crafts she wants to do. We were crafting like up to the minute we left this morning. But the reason we were able to do that is I said, you have to have your whole checklist done in plenty of time. Yeah. And that way I'm not expending all this energy in words. So that's the habit. And once she's like good to go, I'll chunk the list. I don't need it anymore. So I tape stuff up. It doesn't have to be cute. Like we have signs everywhere. If it's written down, not only is it a cue for the kids, but it's a cue for me. If you've ever done this, I'm like, have I made it clear what I expect?
Oh gosh. Yes.
This? Yeah. Cause my kids are master manipulators. Maybe all kids are. One of them. And one of them, it's her. It's my girl.
I know. It's so hard. I try to keep them confidential. And then it's like, nope, it's my daughter.
It's fine. She's a girl. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But she, like, everything is my fault or I didn't make it clear, but you didn't, but you never. No, this actually I have because look, I posted this sign. So I know for sure that I've told you this thing.
Yes. No, just this morning, my daughter comes out in her full horseback riding gear to go to school. And I was like, I'm sorry, this is for horseback riding. And, you know, but she loves it so much that she just wants every day to be, I don't even understand. And so I'm like, I'm sorry, we've already talked about this. And she acted like, what? I'm so confused. Oh, yes.
It's like the ultimate rule follower as a kid. So kids who do this, I do not understand.
Me
I'm
too.
Like,
yes.
You know to lie like this or whatever.
She's like, oh, it's all just so comfortable. I'm like, I'm confident that all your other clothes are also comfortable. Go put them on. Hey guys, I want to take a pause and tell you about PrepDish. Please try it if you haven't. My friend Allison does all the hard work for you. She makes a weekly menu. She gives you a grocery list. She tells you what order to prep everything ahead. And all you have to do on the day that you want to eat the meal that you made is pull it out and heat it up. It's amazing. You can be done for a whole week in just a couple of hours of prepping. And each month, she even has plans that go really fast for if you don't have a lot of time, which is me right now. And everything's healthy and made with whole ingredients, so you can feel really good about what you're feeding your family. My favorite, and usually every single week she has some sort of little dessert, and I'm enjoying learning how to cook in ways that are healthier, but still pretty amazingly delicious. On her website right now, she has carrot cake bites. Guys, get these in your mouth. Will you do that for me? So to try PrepDish for 2 weeks for free, just go to prepdish.com/SWP and you can try it for free for 2 weeks. You're going to love it. I love it. So again, that's prepdish.com/SWP. Okay. So let me ask you about decluttering with kids. How do you manage all that shenanigans? I think that'd be something my listeners would want to know about.
I think that's a great question. I do have some strong opinions on this because I think that children are natural hoarders. Mm-hmm. I want it. It's mine. This is important to me.
It's a shoebox. It's the coffee can. I mean, it doesn't even matter.
Oh, the amount of trash my children play with. I'm like, how? What? Why do I buy you anything? We'll just get the recycle bin. It'll be fine.
Yes.
So I don't believe in decluttering with my kids. Like, okay. this is a personal preference, though. There are some people who their personality and their kid's personality may be a better fit for, like, hey, honey, let's go through this, and I want you to find the things that you don't like anymore. But I really do feel like, for me, I'm such a driven person. I don't have a lot of patience for that. So I choose to teach my kids to declutter with, say, like, schoolwork. And, you know, like, they'll bring their folder home and I'm like, okay, do we need this thing? They're like, nope. I'm like, chunk it. And I have them do it. So they know what it means to declutter and to throw things out. But when it comes to toys, I know what they play with. I know what they don't. I know what's important to them. And so I am in charge of that. And I don't want you to get the impression that my kids don't have anything. They have lots of things. My main thing with them is probably just how to contain it and how to make it manageable. Like, my big boy, he does 3D printing. So he's got all these 3D printing things. Well, instead of them scattered everywhere, we put them in one spot. When I need that to be cleaned up, he's 13. I can send him to go clean his things up, you know?
Yes. It's hard because you don't want to, my mother-in-law told me one time that one of my kids told her that I just throw away all the things they love. She wasn't being mean or anything. She was just like, hey, FYI, the children are traumatized by your parenting.
Right. And that's why you really have to know your child and know yourself. And, like, that might not be the right decision for everybody. If you have, like, not you, but anybody, if you have a highly anxious child or whatever, if something special to them is gone, like, my middle child is much more into things. Something about him. He likes to dress. Like, he does like his shoes. He likes a bow tie.
That's adorable.
It is. It's so cute. And he's 9. He likes accessories of all kinds, like goalie gloves. He's not a goalie. He's a defender, but he wants goalie gloves. So he has a lot of things. I know better than to take his things. And I'll tell you why, because I've done it. I've chunked something that was important to him. And for a year he talked about it. And I'm like, okay, obviously I need to do a better job of paying attention to him, not to him, but to his desires and his personality. Now, my dog, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She has toys she literally doesn't play with, but I'm keeping because I'm like, maybe I'll play with these Hatchimals.
Yeah, it's tricky. I've tried to, like, donate it. For some reason, my kids are more willing to get rid of it if they feel like it's going to someone else.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true for almost anybody.
Okay.
Yes. And we do a ton of donations. I keep a regular bag ready to go of donations. And when it's full, I go take it. In fact, I really need to take it today. It's getting real full.
That's a good idea. Is it like in a closet or something?
It used to be my master. Now I don't really have room in my master closet, but I have it in my pantry. I have kind of an oversized pantry. So I just keep, like, Trader Joe's bag. And as I find things across the house that we don't need or want anymore or clothes that are outgrown, I put them in there, and then when it's full, I take it.
Okay, so personally, I have a hard time getting rid of shoes. They're not, like, nice shoes. They're like shoes with holes in them. I don't know what my problem is. I just bought a pair yesterday to replace the pair that had holes in them, and I just can't get rid of them. Help me.
Like, are you attached to them, or does it feel like it's a waste?
I just feel like, what if I need them?
Well, if you need them, you're probably going to go buy a new pair. You know what I mean? If they have holes in them, they're not really doing the work for you. Okay. They look good if they've got holes in them.
They don't look good. Yeah.
I would like to see them. I will tell you that it is hard to get rid of shoes. Sometimes I feel like it's so wasteful, like, to throw a pair of shoes in the trash. But I will say there are shoe recycling programs. You just have to look into it. Or some thrift stores, they'll recycle anything made of textile so you can, even if something has holes in it, they'll be able to get money for it because they'll recycle it.
Okay, but, so that's helpful because then I think I do not want to look into all that. I will just throw them away. So that knowing that there's an option that takes a lot of work, I'll take the throwaway option.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a time and a place for that. And I know that's probably a little controversial, but there's a time to just chunk. And sometimes on jobs, we probably chunk stuff more than I would at home because of time. Time is money. The client's paying us. You know, the more we sort out, the longer it will take, meaning the more it will cost. So there's sometimes we do throw things away, but we go away from jobs, sometimes leaving 15, 18 bags of donations for the pickup truck. So yes, there are organizations who get paid. So there, I'm trying to think if Salvation Army does it. I cannot remember, but there's, if you donate, say, worn sheets, they're not going to resell that. They will then get paid by the pound to recycle those things. So it's probably better to defer to donate. And people are like, well, no, someone wouldn't want this trashy thing. I'm like, no, they wouldn't, but they can, it can be recycled. I'll throw away old underwear. I don't donate old underwear.
That's probably good. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Okay, so we are talking on this podcast about how to struggle well and the perspective shift that it takes to look at one nasty situation and see it in a different light. And yes. So I wanted to ask you, so we talk here about how well has, the word well has four letters. And so we talk about the W being wait, E being like expect that good things could come out of this. The first L being look again at it, like have a new perspective. And then the fourth one being lean in to this hard situation, and that those together help you to struggle well. So I was going to ask you, like, which of those do you find that is the most difficult for you? Like waiting or being positive, like expecting good things, or?
They might all be hard for me.
Yeah.
Certainly waiting is a very difficult thing for me and probably for most people. Yeah. Gosh, that waiting is hard, especially when you feel like you're suffering so much. There was a season in my family that we had a chronic illness pop up. Mm. We were dealing with a crazy child situation, and between those two things, oh, and I gained a ton of weight because I was stressed, gained 30 pounds like overnight. And
oh man, that is not, on top of everything, you do not want your pants to not fit.
I know. I had never struggled with my weight before, so it was a real shock to me. And I was like, what? And so I just kept thinking, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Particularly the health situation. My husband's health took a weird turn, and I just kept thinking it's going to get better. So I am really a typically optimistic, kind of faithful person, like thinking, yeah, it's going to be good. But as far as like in the moment, I don't know. I just keep thinking, poor me, poor me. Mm. And maybe it won't ever get better. I don't know. I feel like I just contradicted myself, but when you're in the moment, it's just so confusing and so stressful and,
yes,
you know, lonely.
Yes. Where have you had a perspective shift and you are struggling well now where you weren't before?
Oh gosh, I could probably describe my entire life in so many different ways. I think I started out my career as a mom being more like a hippie mom, kind of like go with the flow. This is great. Free spiritedness. And that didn't work out real well for me.
Okay. Why?
Well, because there was just chaos in my house, chaos in terms of relationships. And this was mostly when my oldest was a preschooler. He was an only for 4 years. Okay. And so I don't think I knew much about childhood development at that. So I didn't realize that it's helpful to children to have structure and routine. And now that I know who my child is now, he's 13, he's an academic. He is a science kid. He's a Minecraft kid. And I just think, oh man, buddy, you were crying out for order and structure. Whereas I was just like, whatever. And then I'm like, why are you acting out? This is the worst. And I think I still kind of fight some of those old strains of being like, can we just go with the flow? But it's not helpful to my daughter now. You know, she needs to know what to expect, not too far ahead of time because she'll freak out. Mm-hmm. But she does want more than, say, my middle, who's super go with the flow. So I think something that I am now doing better at is embracing this identity as what I call bossy mommy, where I can be firm and secure and confident. And that does not mean I'm mean. That does not mean I'm controlling. That doesn't mean I'm rigid. It just means this is what I need to be for my kids. And there's freedom.
Yes, there is freedom in structure.
There really is. And I never knew that. I don't know. It feels so good to the brain to have the structure. And then once you do have that, look at all the things you can do within it.
Oh my gosh. It's beautiful. Yes. I totally agree. My friend, one of my friends lives on island time, and she just is so go with the flow. And she calls it her ukulele life, just a life that's just like islandy and beautiful and all that stuff. And so structure for her is like death. But so we talk a lot about how, you know, we can have island time within these parameters of this hour and a half.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love that. And I think that's probably an interesting case study on how people are just so different. And maybe island time is what she and her family need. But man, island time. No, if I'm late, I'm upset. Do you know what I'm saying? We will be on time no matter what. I don't care who I run over.
Yeah. So watch out, everyone in Birmingham.
Sorry about that.
That's so funny. Okay. So what is something that you cannot stop talking about right now in your life? Could be anything.
Oh, my gosh.
TV show or like a product?
Oh, I always have so many things. Okay. Well, one TV show I can't stop talking about, and I finished it like 2 weeks ago and I'm still thinking about it, is a show on Netflix called Atypical. I don't know if this is for everybody.
Okay. I haven't heard of it.
So it's a little bit spicy. So if you have trouble with language or topics, maybe things, it might not be for everybody, but okay. I have loved this show. It's like I would call it a drama comedy.
Okay.
It's like 30 minute episodes. I think it's 2 seasons and they re-up for a third. The show is so precious. I just love the characters so much. And the lead character has high functioning autism. That's why it's called Atypical.
Okay.
And it's just about him and his family. And I am fascinated by autism as I am with other developmental issues, just with my history in counseling and adoption. And so I think seeing it from sort of this first person perspective is really cool. And anyway, I love that show so much. I want to be their friends. I'm like, can we just be friends? Like, oh, I love that.
That's fine. Okay. That's great. I'll have to look into that.
Oh, can I tell you one more
thing? 100%. Yes.
So I've been following this woman on Instagram who like hardly ever washes her hair. Her name is Jasmine Ray Hair Co. And her whole thing is like healthy long hair and scalp health. Anyway, so I don't wash my hair very often anymore, so I'm obsessed with that. But she is a representative for a product line called Lange. I'm sure you've seen Instagram ads, LANGE, Lange.
Oh, well, they've got, no.
Well, I don't know if this would be for you because you're a curly girl, but like they've got this hairbrush ionic straightener thing, and I'm obsessed with this thing. It heats up to 350 degrees in like 5 seconds. I'm obsessed with all of that right now. It's magical.
Okay. Help me understand, because my hair doesn't get oily because of curly hair. So you not washing your hair, do you dry shampoo? And how does the straightener help? What's happening?
Okay. So yes. So my hair is pretty straight with a little bit of like non-uniform wave in the back. And yeah, so I use dry shampoo. But what you do is you end up training your hair initially so that it will stop producing so much oil. So like this lady, she has gone as long as 30 days without shampooing her hair.
Oh my gosh, that makes my head itch.
I mean, the longest I went was 14 days. So now I go maybe once a week, or maybe I'll wash it every 5 to 6 days, something like that. And yeah, I'll use dry shampoo as needed in the middle, but it wasn't as much as I used to need it. You know what I mean?
So you have noticed a difference?
Oh yeah, I have. Now, the ultimate goal is to have a healthy scalp and that to grow my hair longer, because what they say, I don't know, I need a scientist to like let me know if these things are true. Like what they say is a healthier scalp means stronger hair. And the more you wash your hair, the more susceptible your hair is to breakage and damage. Okay. So that's the impetus to not wash it all the time. So the hair straightener thing is awesome, because like if I do want to straighten my hair, sometimes I like to put some wave in it, but if I do want to straighten it, it's just like running a brush through your hair. That's why I like it. It has nothing to do with the no shampooing thing. It's just a nice way to straighten your hair. That's not a flat iron.
Fun. That does sound more enjoyable than a flat iron.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It feels safer somehow. It feels like it's not as damaging.
Yeah. But then you say 300 degrees in 5 seconds, and that, then the safety seems to not be there as much.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Is it something that like a 10-year-old with wild hair could use, for example?
I think so. I was actually telling a friend of mine whose daughter she's half white, half black, and has the biggest, curliest, out of control hair, and it takes hours to fix all the time. And I was like, you need to get, and I think she's 10 actually. I'm like, you need to get this brush thing because you can just divide it into sections and just nicely pull the thing through your hair. And it, yes, you can, it'd be like impossible to burn yourself too because of how the things are, the spikes. What do you call them?
Yeah,
you know.
The mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that word.
Words are hard.
Words are so hard. Yeah. Okay. That maybe we need to do that because as she gets older, her hair is getting curlier and curlier, but it's not curls. It's just fluff. It's fluffy.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely try that. You can almost always get a coupon code for like half off too. So.
Okay. That is awesome. Well, this has been very informative, Tara. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Emily.
Yes. You have a great rest of your day organizing away. You've inspired me. I'm going to go to the Container Store and sort out my laundry room today, I think.
Yes, I wish I was with you.
I know. I wish you would do it. I hope you loved that. I know I did. So what will your strategy to struggle well be this week based on what Tara said? Maybe you do what she does when she's trying to form a new habit and put lists all over your house to help everybody get on the same page. Maybe you do a morning time chore list like she does for her kids so that you don't have to do so much talking. And if you're like me, I don't even wake up until about 10 o'clock, my brain at least. And so that sounds like such a good idea. Maybe your next step to struggle well is to follow House Peace on Instagram. It's actually house.peace on Instagram. Tara has very practical tips to get you pointed in the right direction. I follow her. I learn a lot from her. I suggest you do the same. Maybe you can join me and throw away some shoes that have holes in them because you don't need them anymore and you don't even need to feel bad about it. I'm going to do that as soon as I'm done here. Maybe you have straight hair or you have a 10-year-old with wackadoo hair and you need some help and you can get that brush straightener thing. I will have the link for that in the show notes because I think one of those is in my daughter's future. Do me a favor and share this episode if you found that was helpful or if anybody came to mind that, oh my gosh, they would really benefit from this. They'll be happy. I'll be happy. You'll be happy. Everyone will be happier people if you just share this episode. Do that for all of us, will ya? Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Next week is a Struggling Sisters episode with, well, my sister. I think that might have been obvious in the name, right? And when you shop on Amazon this week, first go to amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. Anything that you purchase will not cost you any extra, but Amazon will give a little bit of money to the show to help me keep this going and help me pay the people that make this possible. Because we know I ain't be having a lot of time these days with all my jobbing and my schooling. And if you are not yet following along on Instagram at Struggle Well Project, please do that. We have a lot of fun there. I love Instagram stories. So if you do too, get over there. I love getting to hear from listeners and interacting with them on Instagram. So make that happen. All right, ladies, let me pray for us. Lord, we're so thankful to live in a place where we have access to so much. And while that can be great, it can also sometimes be completely overwhelming and all-consuming. Would you help us to be wise in what we purchase, wise in what we keep, wise in the ways that we declutter, that those aren't hurtful actions. Lord, there's just so much to think about. Would you help us figure out ways to simplify our lives? If we're looking to the things that you've blessed us with to be ultimate in our lives, they are never going to fulfill us like you. So would you help us to have everything in its proper order, with you being the highest and most important? In Jesus' name, amen.